Hey, it's November 9th, 2017, and this is Beginner's Puck, a hockey podcast for fans both new and old.
Hey, Erica.
Hi, Deb.
Guess what?
What?
We're in a car.
We're in the same car.
This is a car cast.
Well, technically it's a van cast.
Oh, it's true.
A minivan cast.
We're in a minivan on the New Jersey Turnpike, heading north to the Prudential Center to watch the New Jersey Devils play your Edmonton Oilers. And we have a very special guest also in the car with us. Would you like to introduce our special guest?
I would. This very special guest is very special to me because he's my spouse, Stephen Schepansky from the Hockey Feels podcast. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased and proud to be here.
We're pleased and proud to have you.
That sounds like such a hockey response.
Yes, he's my very own Canadian hockey robot.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, this is really exciting because, A, we're going to be watching live hockey together tonight. And we're watching a team that, you know, the New Jersey Devils have a little bit of Edmonton Oilers history going on, right?
They sure do. Taylor Hall, who was the Oilers' first number one overall draft pick from several years back at this point, got traded away just as the Oilers had snagged Connor McDavid and started to get good. Poor Taylor Hall then got traded away to the New Jersey Devils. So,
yeah, where he didn't do so well last year.
He hasn't quite been the firebrand that I think they were expecting him to.
Well, last year was a tough year for the Devils.
It was.
They really did not excel. This year, however, it's been a slightly different story because they got the number one draft pick in Nico Hischier. We got the number two draft pick, Flyers fans, so it's still okay. They got Nico Hischier, and they have been doing exceedingly well. And I do remember listening to a report, and I can't remember if it was... it may have even been on Hockey Central, talking about Taylor Hall having to adjust to not only a new system, a new team, but just the disappointment of knowing that he wasn't the guy for Edmonton. Yep. And sort of the mental game that went into that, and mm-hmm. how the management sat down with him in the early postseason and basically said, you know, you weren't a gimme. Like, we wanted you. We traded for you, and we think that, you know, you're going to be great for this team. And I think we've seen that in his performance this year. He's just been, it's a different person on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was sort of like the cock of the walk, so to speak, in Edmonton. And from what I hear from people I know who ran into him in bars, that's really what he thought of himself for so long. And yeah, then to be traded away just at the point where things start to turn around, that had to have been, like, you know, even if it turns out he wasn't the nicest guy, that's still an awful thing to have to go through.
Yeah, and you guys have met once before. We've had this matchup just last week or so, I think.
Yes.
Wasn't it last week, New Jersey Devils and Edmonton Oilers? Yeah.
Yep.
You won.
Yes, barely.
So tonight is round two, and let's see what happens on home ice. I've really been enjoying watching the Devils this year, and being in the Metropolitan League, that's sort of a sacrilege. So I am wearing an Oilers jersey right now, provided by your spouse, who is a jersey aficionado. Thank you, Stephen.
I'm a hoarder, but thank you for dumbing it down.
Yes.
I was being kind.
That's another word for it. Yeah, actually, all three of us are in Oilers jerseys, thanks to Stephen. Stephen has his orange McDavid jersey on. Deb is wearing a white jersey from, tell me what year that is, dear.
That's the first Reebok jersey from 2007, 2008. That's what Deb's wearing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kicking it old school.
Yep. And I also have one of the new orange ladies cut jerseys, which Stephen just randomly brought home for me last week, so it's exciting to have an official event to wear it to. Yes. And there's nobody's name on the back because I don't like that.
Yeah, you have a name thing. That's okay. I don't have a name either, but that's fine. But anyway, a win for the Oilers is actually a win for Philadelphia. So they have my allegiance tonight. Even though, like I said, I've enjoyed watching Nico Hischier on the ice. He's just fun. He's a fun player to watch.
In fact, actually, speaking of jerseys, Steven's hockey podcast co-host Rachel will be meeting us at the rink, and Stephen brought an Oilers jersey for her too. You want to tell us which one that is?
Yeah, I bought the day the Oilers new jerseys came out, the orange ones, the orange and navy blue ones. I bought a McDavid orange one, which I'm wearing right now, and then I also bought a white Draisaitl one. I usually don't buy jerseys with names on the back, but I felt they kind of looked barren without them, and I figured, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl have been signed for like 8 or 9 years respectively, so it's a safe bet. This is a wise investment, so she asked to wear that, and so I'm providing that. So we'll all be wearing Oilers jerseys today.
Yay! Yeah, and they are sort of like, you know, chocolate and peanut butter. They go great together. So it's a good way. I am looking at the jerseys a little side-eyed, you know, because orange is Flyers.
You can't own a color. There are only so many colors. And to say that you get to have this one where, like, you know, how many teams have red? How many teams have blue?
But we're so orange. And you guys weren't orange. And you co-opted the orange. But that's all right, because it is a softer orange than our orange. Mm-hmm. It's not as harsh. And as I called it before, now that I've seen it in person, I do agree. It is Canadian orange. It's a little nicer, a little softer. Not quite as in-your-face aggressive as Philadelphia Flyer orange.
This is true. But not as, like, you know, bash your skull in orange as, say, Anaheim's.
Oh, I was going to say something really rude about Anaheim, but this is a family podcast, so I won't do that. I was amused earlier today. On our way to the game, I took Stephen and Erica for an essential Philadelphia thing, and we bought Philadelphia soft pretzels from the Philadelphia Soft Pretzel Factory. Mm. And as we walked in, the woman behind the counter said, "Oh, are you going to the Flyers game tonight?" So, when in Philadelphia and you're wearing orange, you're a Flyers fan.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Yeah. So Erica, what other hockey things have you been doing? Like, have you been keeping up with any other teams? Have you been watching any of the games? Or are you Edmonton Oilers all the time? Because you guys have been hitting a little bit of a rough patch.
It's been rough. I have been actually very busy trying to get ready to leave for 3 weeks and take this trip. So I haven't had time to watch a whole lot. I've made time for the Oilers games. Even though sometimes it feels like the Oilers haven't made time for the Oilers games. It's been tough to watch. I have to admit, there have been a few games where I will watch the first period, you know, rapt attention on the screen, and then just sort of as things kind of go downhill, I check my phone, but by the end of the third period, I'm pretty much just playing Candy Crush and listening to the announcers, because my heart can't take it sometimes. Like, my anxiety level just gets a little too high. And yeah, they're not performing as well as other people expected them to. I didn't have those high expectations, so at least I'm not suffering from the disappointment that a lot of Oilers fans are. But I think I'm just a natural pessimist, which probably comes from growing up a Packers fan in the 80s and 90s. And yeah, so I never expect my team to do well. So last year was an anomaly and a surprise and was really exciting, and I just sort of expected things to go back to status quo, which they have, and it sucks to be have my expectations met like that. But I'm hoping that this is just the awkward first few weeks of the season, and they will pull it together and be the team that they were last year. But you can't just pick up where you left off. You have to start over, and I don't think they've done that yet.
It's true. It's like, all right, here's a good analogy. It's like the Edmonton Oilers are a young girl who's blossoming into womanhood, and they're learning how to walk in their high heels.
Ah.
And it takes a while to get that rhythm down. So
if ever, I never learned to walk in high heels, so I really hope the Oilers are better than me in this analogy.
You're killing it here, Erica. You're killing it. So. All right, Stephen, who is also acting as our tech producer here, so as he's fiddling with dials and whatnot and holding the microphone as I am literally driving up I-95, you're in a slightly different position when watching Oiler games. So what has it been like? Why don't you explain to our listeners what that position is and how things are looking from your vantage point?
My position as pertaining to what?
As pertaining to the Edmonton Oilers, because you're watching the game slightly differently than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Home games, anyway.
Yeah, home games. I actually work for the Oilers in the game presentation department, which sounds highfalutin, but I basically put together replays and stuff.
For
the Jumbotron at Rogers Place. So it's a way different way to experience a game. It is a very awesome and exciting way to experience a game. I find that the better the Oilers do, the more busier I am and the less of the game I actually see, because I'm busy putting together all the goal highlights and everything like that. So the more I get to see, which sadly has been more recently, is kind of sad and depressing. But it's still a great experience and a lot of fun. And I feel like I'm doing my bit to help the team in a way, because I noticed that, for instance, the last game as the right before the period, the Oilers come out on the ice, and that's when my highlight pack from the previous period comes on. And I was watching on a monitor. There's Leon Draisaitl just standing on the ice watching the highlights that I had created. Aww. Probably looking for his goal or his play or something like that. So I feel that I try to throw stuff in there that will perhaps inspire the team onto victory.
And you do get a chance to see, you know, the opposing teams as you're walking through to get to your office, and maybe giving them a little bad mojo side eye.
Well, it's on the way to the cafeteria in the basement of Rogers Place. The visiting team is sort of like expands out into the hallway and does their little soccer kick around a little bit, and then they also sort of like do some exercises in the hallway. And when Washington was in town, Braden Holtby was doing like some pregame warm-ups, and he had like a racquetball or a tennis ball or something in his hand, and he was standing, I'd say, about 5 to 6 feet in front of the wall, and was basically throwing the ball down with his right hand, and it would bounce, hit the corner of the bottom corner of the wall, and bounce up into his left hand. And he was doing this with such speed, like boom, 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 like literally that quick. And I was walking behind him because I had to get by. I had to get by to go to our room. And I'm just praying, like, that with the angle of trajectory that ball was coming back up, I'm thinking, please catch that, because it's going to hit me right in the head. And he caught, and he was doing it the whole time. It was quite stunning to watch.
Goalies, so, man, that's impressive.
Goalies, yeah, it was very impressive.
Oh, love goalies, love goalies. All right, so what other teams have you been following this season? Because I've been with the ups and downs with the Dallas Stars, who everyone projected, including myself, would be, you know, going like gangbusters out of the gate, and they've had a slightly stumbly first start, but it seems like they're picking up, even though their depth scoring is shit. Excuse me, can we say that on this podcast?
Why not?
All right. And of course, Vegas Golden Knights have been very exciting, even though the deck was stacked for them in the beginning, which honestly I kind of appreciate. I think that was a really smart move on behalf of the NHL to sort of whip their fan base into a frenzy to get started. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of who I've been focusing on a little bit. I thought I would be paying more attention to Buffalo, but oh, they're so Buffalo.
Yep.
I've kind of not been paying as much attention there as I thought I would. But how about you, Stephen? What other teams are you kind of keeping abreast with?
Well, Rach, on Hockey Feels, we both sort of say, which team are we sort of like cheering for in addition to our normal team,
backup
the Flyers? No,
backup boyfriend.
And Rachel took my team that I was going to take. I took Buffalo as a backup mm-hmm. boyfriend, because I didn't want to take her team, which was the Winnipeg Jets. And they started the season so terribly. They got bombed out by like the Leafs in the first game. And like Steve Mason all of a sudden was like looking like Steve Mason did for some of the Flyers games. And then they've completely turned it around and are on a bit of a tear. So I'm quite pleased that Winnipeg is starting. So they are officially my backup boyfriends this year, mm-hmm. Because it's always good to see another Canadian team do well as well.
Yeah, I was going to follow the Golden Knights, and I have kind of, and it really started off with, like as you said, Deb, the beginning of their season was somewhat padded a little bit in terms of the easiness of the games and lots of home games, but the fact that they have been winning so much has been somewhat concerning, especially to somebody who's in the same division. So I seem to remember, speaking of Rachel from Hockey Feels, I remember last year when Columbus was on their winning streak tear.
Oh, yeah.
And at first, like, Rachel was like, oh, this is so great, like, good for them. And by the end, she was like, this is just getting annoying. I want them to stop winning. And I was like, wow, that's really petty, Rachel. And now I'm exactly there with the Golden Knights. At first, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Good for them. And now I'm like, okay, this needs to stop. But I did predict that when they went to New York, that things were going to start turning around. And I think that... I think it kind of has. I mean, they haven't tanked or anything, but
no,
the shine is somewhat coming off the apple, I think.
And considering they're using like the concessions guy as their goalie these days because they keep whipping through them so quickly.
Yeah, the fact that they are still doing as well as they are, having, you know, discarded goalies like tissue paper, I think that's still pretty amazing.
Yeah, considering teams with much more depth and coordination and practice and culture are not doing so well. So.
And one thing that I've pointed out, a lot of people have said that it's just so amazing that this expansion team that didn't exist before has come together and done so well, whereas in the previous decades and years, expansion teams haven't been so strong out of the gate. I think that's a sign of just the talent level of the NHL overall. I think it is higher than it ever has been. You hear pundits and stuff talking about parity in the league, and it's true. It's really hard to predict which teams are going to be doing really well because all teams are so good. There's so many players who are excellent, and I think that just really shows itself in Vegas. You take all of these players who are, you have to be great to be in the NHL. Like, that's just the way it works. And you put them all together and do some team building as much as you can at the beginning. And yeah, they're professionals and they're coming together and they're just playing really well.
All right. Well, we are, in case you can't hear Google Maps in the background, we are getting close to our exit. So while we have an expert with us, we're going to transition super quickly into What the Puck and learn something new about hockey. We're not even going to do music. We're just going to go right into What the Puck. Mm-hmm. And Steven, since you were here, you were, and I've said this publicly, like one of my hockey gurus when I first got into hockey, and I would DM you all the time with questions that were really silly and basic, and you were always so kind, and you held my hand through this. So I have a question right now, and I'm hoping that you can answer me, because this is my biggest What the Puck. The NHL app has a statistics page, and at the top of that statistics page, there are tons and tons of little abbreviations. Now, there's no key as to what these abbreviations are. Now, some of them are very, very obvious. Goals, assists, games played, that sort of thing. But there's some that are a little, I just don't understand. So what I would like for you to do for me and for our listeners who may not also know what all these abbreviations stand for, explain the top of the NHL stat page.
I'll do my best.
Mm-hmm. And please tell me the directions on where I'm getting off in betwixt and between so we don't get lost.
My iPhone will tell me. It'll be all right. We'll be safe.
Take exit 13A toward Elizabeth Seaport, Newark Airport.
There you go.
That's awesome. Okay, so yeah, so the first one is GP.
That means games played.
Yep.
Yep.
That's one of the more obvious. Okay, so then what about P?
P is points, which you get when you add up the number of goals and assists. This is indeed the exit.
13A, then keep left.
Okay.
There you are.
This is so fun. Okay, so wait, say that again. Points?
Points, basically goals and assists add up to points.
Gotcha.
And stats land, yeah.
Which means that the G probably stands for goals.
Correct.
And the A probably stands for assists.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about PIM?
PIM means penalties in minutes.
Oh. Why don't they just say penalty minutes?
Well, because I don't know why they...
Stay on north, follow signs for US 1, US 9.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Google.
Okay, so penalties in minutes. So it's penalty minutes, like the number of minutes that they have had in penalties in this season. That's what that is?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. I don't know who Corey McLeod is, but he's got 60 already.
Well,
so
oftentimes, I think a game misconduct counts as 10 minutes in penalties.
Gotcha.
As does a 10-minute misconduct as well. So so sometimes like those totals can be inflated. I'm sure you'll be shocked to know this, and this throws in some old hockey here, but the NHL record for most penalty minutes in a season is 472.
Whoa.
By Dave the Hammer Schultz of the Philadelphia Flyers. But a lot of those were like game misconducts, match penalties, like all like that's how you really total, rack up your penalty total. Yep.
US 1 for a half mile.
they called them the Broad Street Bullies for a reason.
Yep. Okay, then we have plus slash minus.
Yeah, so plus minus is, I feel like in this day of advanced stats, I think that plus minus is sort of going by the wayside. Makes sense to you, Deb?
Okay.
Basically, the plus minus means that if a player is on the ice for an even strength or shorthanded goal for his team, he gets a plus.
Oh, okay.
If he's on the ice for against on a, for an even strength goal and a power play goal, that is, if the other team scores a shorthanded goal, then that is a minus. And so the better the number, the better the player. So, for instance, Steven Stamkos has a plus +8. It means he's been on the ice for 8 more goals than he's been on against, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so positive numbers are good.
And that's a Corsi stat, correct?
No, that is actually a stat that dates back till, I think, the late 60s or something like that. Okay. So it's been there for, it's been the only sort of Corsi stat before the... these advanced stats sort of came in a few years ago. Yeah.
At some point, we will discuss advanced stats, but that today is not that day.
And I am not your person for that.
Basic stats.
Yeah, this is basic.
All right. So next we have P slash GP.
That's a relatively new one. It means points per game played,
okay,
basically. So Steven Stamkos, I think we're looking at the same thing,
yep,
is at 1.75. He's averaging 1.75 points per game.
Yeah. Okay. And that, so that, as we discussed with the P, the points is goals and assists.
Yeah, that stat there was kind of an argument for, on behalf of Connor McDavid, when his rookie season, he only played like 48 games due to injury, but his points per game stat was, I think, second in the league only to Patrick Kane that year.
Oh, wow.
So it was very high, and so a lot of people were saying, well, look how many points per game he got. He should still get very high consideration for this and other awards.
Got it. Okay.
Mm, interesting.
All right. Next, we have PPP.
PPP is power play points.
Okay, so is that like a goal or an assist on a power play?
Correct.
Okay, and that's just total. It's not per game. It's,
and a power play, as we have discussed in the past, is when the other team has incurred a penalty and you have more men on the ice than the other team.
Yep. All right, and the last one along the top is SHP.
That means shorthanded points. So points that you get when your team is shorthanded.
Oh, okay.
So when one of your team members is
in the penalty box
and you have fewer players on the ice and you still manage to get a goal, go you.
Yeah, that's impressive. I didn't realize that was one of these stats. Cool.
So who is on top of the leaderboard for that one?
Evander Kane.
Oh,
from the Sabres.
Okay. Well, Buffalo guy. All right.
But he's tied with Eric Staal from the Wild. So they both have 3. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's not very high, but the fact that you actually manage to score 3 times on when you're shorthanded, that is impressive.
Yes, so. It is.
And it's still early enough in the season that I'm sure it will be higher as things go on. But now that I know what all these stats are, I will be checking this page more often. It's exciting. Let's see.
All right. What else do we have, Erica?
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
Yep. Those are all these stats that are... those are all the ones that show up on the NHL app. I think on NHL's like actual website, they may have more columns, but right. Just but on the
since
app.
Since we're in a car and we only have access to the app, that's all the stats we're going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, guys, we are getting like critically towards downtown Newark and are going to have to pay more attention to where we're going so we don't get lost and don't miss our game. I am so excited to be watching live hockey with both of you, which we have done in the past. We did a podcast for Beginner's Puck. Mm-hmm. We should put a link to that someplace in our show notes. So if you want to hear us talking about the Arizona Coyotes playing the LA Kings, that we went to a game in LA. And we'll be doing this again.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure when we go to, we go to Las Vegas.
Yes, indeed.
To see the Vegas Golden Knights play Anaheim.
Go Vegas.
Go Vegas.
Yep. And actually, we very well may do an after the game live car cast after this game today. But if we do, that's going to go out on the Hockey Feels podcast feed. So it's like a special 2-part crossover extravaganza event.
I know. So much hockey. So many podcasts. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Stephen, for holding the microphone and directing me to the stadium.
You're most kind. Do you mind if I drop a little hashtag old hockey before we go regarding the Oilers and Devils history?
Oh, no. Please do.
Yeah. Bring it on.
So on November 19th, 1983, the New Jersey Devils, who were in their first season in New Jersey after having spent their first 8 years of existence in Kansas City and Colorado.
Wow.
Having only once made the playoffs, they were the laughing stock in the NHL. They came into Edmonton that night, actually 83-84 season, sorry, there's their second year in the league, and got beat 13-4 by the Oilers.
Whoa.
Just seeing as I look up, we're going straight apparently, Deb. Afterwards, because one of the goalies that played that night, in addition to Chico Resch, was a guy by the name of Ron Lowe, who used to be the Oilers goaltender in their early NHL days. And the Oilers felt bad about like pumping 6 goals past him in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Gretzky made one of the few controversial statements in his career by saying that this team is a Mickey Mouse team. The comments stuck, and New Jersey Devils fans never let Gretzky forget it whenever they came to town. And it's sort of like that was kind of the crystallizing moment that the Devils needed to sort of become a better team. And and so they drafted a guy by the name of Kirk Muller in the draft that upcoming year, and he became sort of a backbone to their 80s renaissance, so to speak. So it all kind of started with that Oilers blowout in 1983.
Wow. That is some hashtag old hockey right there.
Sure is.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Guys, we are almost at the arena. I can see it in the distance.
Yee, hooray!
So,
I do too.
Thanks for listening. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.